We're going to go ahead and get started with our new lesson on deliverance. And I got to tell you guys, that's my sister singing on her first CD, Deliverance. When I saw the lesson, I said, oh my goodness, I thought about her song, and the words to the song just really minister to what we're going to be talking about when we talk about deliverance. Don't you want deliverance? She said, don't you want deliverance? And so we're going to really break into deliverance. Let us start with prayer. And also, I called her up and I said, Lynn, you've got to send me some CDs. So she's got some CDs that she's going to send to us, and she's going to let us have it at a discount. So hopefully those CDs, I'm sure they'll be here before we finish up deliverance, but that song just ministers to me so much, that the question, don't you want deliverance? Because that's the question that we're going to dive into as we go in this lesson. We're going to open in prayer. Lord, we thank you, dear Jesus, for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindnesses. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for just all the names that you are, Lord God. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, that you are the Amen, that you are the Rock, Lord God, that you are the sure foundation, Lord God, that you are the peg in a sure place, Lord God, that you are the wall of fire, Lord God. As I think about all the things that you are and all the names that you are, Lord, we'd say thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you would come and die for us. With all of you that you were, you died for us, Lord God. So, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. And we pray that we would be diligent to learn more and more about who you are, who our Lord is, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, bless this lesson, the deliverer, Lord God, and help us to understand deliverance, Lord God, true deliverance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to go into the lesson. There are some extra lessons. If you don't have it, we're on lesson 26, the deliverer. And there is an extra handout over there too. A song, I'm One of Them Today, is up there too. So if you want to get a copy of that song, we're going to go over that song today. So as we go into the lesson, deliver, as I said, this is so exciting. I'm always excited, but this is, I'm excited again. Okay, folks, let me just say it. I'm excited again about this name, the deliverer. And our key scripture comes from Romans 11. 26 is the Amplified, and it says, and so at that time, all Israel, that is all Jews who have a personal faith in Jesus as Messiah, will be saved. Just as it is written in Scripture, the deliverer, Messiah, will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. Oh my goodness. And keep in mind, because I want you to really get this. Keep in mind, they are talking to Israel, or the people of God, okay? As I said, you know, this class, you know, is for Christians. Can I just say that? Yeah. This class is for the Christians, okay? Because I like talking to you Christians, okay, about yourself. So this class, it's for you Christians. And so as we're learning the names of Jesus Christ, I'm looking at this, the deliverer. Keep in mind that the apostle is talking to Israel here. He's talking to the Gentiles too. He's talking to the people who have a personal faith in Jesus Christ. And then he's talking about he came from Zion and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. And folks, we need a lot of removing of the ungodliness in us. Us Christians, okay? So we're going to talk about us Christians. The theme of this chapter is liberation or freedom. Aren't you glad about it? Freedom or liberation. So as we talk, look, read the first part of your lesson, it says, freedom is a nebulous or a cloudy concept. It can appear to be present when it is not. And it can appear to be absent when it is strongly residing. Freedom can be seen on the outside, but lost to the inside of a person. And the person in a physical prison can have the freest of soul. So we really got to understand liberation and freedom and deliverance. As we set the groundwork for the theme of this lesson on the name of Christ the Deliverer, we must understand the true meaning of liberation, or the true meaning of freedom. Because Christ came to bring true freedom. Remember, he is the truth. Remember, we just finished the lesson. He is the way and the truth. So he is into true freedom and not this facade or the appearance of freedom. Christ is into always into the truth. He doesn't do fakery. What he accomplishes is true through and through. So as I said, some people can be in a physical prison and be free as all get out. And some people can be free physically, but they're in bondage. So we're going to talk about the true freedom. We have to be ready as we do this lesson to recognize the truth of our own liberation, the truth of our own freedom. So we're going to talk about what binds us, what is keeping us in bondage, and how we can be delivered, because Jesus, the deliverer, oh my goodness, we're going to get into how shall you escape if you are neglecting it. It's right here for you folks. The next part on your lesson says, freedom can be available, but not embraced in the life of a person. I'm going to read that again. Freedom can be available, but not embraced in the life of a person. The gate to freedom can be realized, but surrounded by, and I want you to get these three things, fear, sloth, or indifference. Just because the gate is open doesn't mean you or I have to or will walk through it. Just because the gate is open doesn't mean we'll walk through it. Guys, it's distracting me, Margaret. Okay. Just because the gate is open doesn't mean you will walk through it. Sometimes when you have to, sometimes when you have been in captivity for so long, you forget what freedom is. Or in some cases, you are afraid of freedom. So fear can keep you in captivity even though the gate is open. That happens to a lot of people. You hear that a lot about people that have been incarcerated for long periods of time, and then they get out into the real world and they have this fear and all this anxiety because of all the open space and the freedom. And many of us are like that. We have been so comfortable in a place for so long that even when Jesus comes and you accept him into your heart and he is there to set you free, you will not walk through the gate to freedom because you are afraid to. You are afraid to leave the voice of the tormentor, because sometimes it can be a torment, but you're afraid to leave the tormentor. I know that sounds bizarre, but, you know, psychologists have described this over and over again. You know, that sometimes when a person is kidnapped and tormented, sometimes they can get to a place where they are afraid to leave the tormentor. You know, that's why when we hear about all these child abductions and we hear about all this trafficking of people and all this that's going on, why, when these kids are actually at a point where they're in a free place, why don't they scream out? Why don't they yell out? Because they're afraid to leave the voice of the tormentor. It's like it's something that they cling to. The one who has held you captive. You can become so used to it, so comfortable with it, that you won't trust the deliverer enough to let it go. And we are the same way sometimes. We have been so captive by certain things. It could be habits, it could be people, it could be whatever, it could be relationships, it could be whatever. But you will not let it go because you're afraid. Fear is a big reason. I'm afraid. What if I let it go and I fall, or I, you know, you're not ready to trust the deliverer. So we want to work on and pray about that. Lord, give me a place where I trust the deliverer. Sometimes it may be that you've been wooed by a spirit of sloth. Okay, we don't want to talk about this, but we got to talk about how we can get comfortable. You know, sometimes we can be comfortable captives. I have a section in my book, The Leaving Babylon, called The Comfortable Captives. And it talks about how people can be so comfortable or even slothful, too lazy to move from where you are, have been for so long, so that you don't move into the freedom of the deliverer. Because you're comfortable. Oh man, I know a lot of Christians like this, okay? That, look, we don't take all that. I don't want to go that far. I don't want to learn about that. Because they know, if I learn about it, then I'm responsible for it. So I'd rather not go to that Bible study that talks about that particular issue. because I'm comfortable staying where I am. As a song says, don't you want deliverance? Sadly to say that for some people, the answer to that question is no. I'm comfortable where I am. And I don't want to stretch or reach into the higher places of God because I'm afraid it's going to cost me something, and I'm afraid it's going to make me uncomfortable if I'm doing that particular ministry or I'm doing that. I hear God calling me. I hear the deliverer wanting to set me free, but I'm comfortable right where I am with my old routine and what I do, and I don't want to get involved in that ministry because I would be uncomfortable if people see me actually identifying with Christians in the community. It's not true. Is it not true, folks? I'm telling you, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about because I lived it. I've lived this, okay? I've lived this. I've had all my other stuff going on, and I had my education and my, I can go to the church and all that, but I didn't want to be delivered to that point, or I actually was identifying. So one problem is sloth, or too lazy to move from where we are. We're comfortable where we are, and we don't want to move. And then there are some who are just indifferent to their freedom. They don't see it as relevant. It doesn't take all that again. Why do I have to do that? You know, I'm fine right where I am. Their lives and their belief is based on what they have, and they're indifferent. They still believe in their own way of doing things, so they fail to walk through the open gate the deliverer has provided. It's salvation, but no growth in the ways of the deliverer. Happens all the time. We talked about it. You're just inside the house, leaning on the door, looking out the window at what you used to be and what you used to have and what you used to do. Indifferent. I really don't care to go in the dining room, the feast at the table. I know the master has prepared the table, but I'm good. I'm good right here. I'm good. That's what we do. That's how we treat them. I'm good. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm going to go with him when he comes. I'm in. But you don't want to go any further. Again, the song says, don't you want deliverance? And some of us are like, maybe I do, maybe I don't. I don't know. I don't know what I feel right now. Indifferent. Don't care attitude about growing in Christ. Just don't even care. Got other things to do. I got my agenda to take care of first. Everything before Jesus, everything. I got my agenda, got my career, I'm going to do this, da, da, da. Everything before him. You got all kind of junk in you that the deliverer needs to set you free from, but you can't be bothered right now because you can fill in the blank however you want. I am too busy doing, and you fill in the blank. Indifferent to your own deliverance. In all three of these instances, fear, sloth, and indifference, the person continues to live as a captive. Gate wide open, but the person continues to live as a captive. You know, and I hear, you know, sometimes I'd like wonder about, because then they turn around and they want to blame God. Why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that? And what? I was offering you deliverance. And you were either afraid of it, you were too lazy to get up and reach out for it, or you just didn't care. You just had other things. You were too busy with other things. So we're going to talk about not just the liberation. You know, we're going to get into knowing this name, but this is just, we're just talking about just understanding deliverance and what we need as people of God. In this lesson, we will look at the meaning of Christ's name, the deliverer. We must explore the truth about our deliverance or liberation in him. The writer of Hebrews asked the poignant question, and we ask this question over and over again in this class. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? That's Hebrews 2:3, New King James. The question can also be asked this way: how will you experience deliverance and live in freedom if you ignore the word of the deliverer or fail to spend time with him? We can ask it that way too. How in the world are you going to be set free if you ignore the deliverer? You don't spend any time with him. It's talking about neglect. And I want to get you a picture in your mind of a child. You know, we think about neglect, we think about a child that's been neglected. And you can have a picture in your mind of a child that's been neglected. They're underweight because they haven't been fed. They're dirty because nobody's taken the time to give them a bath or wash them. You know, they're unprotected. So they're being assaulted from every place you can imagine. Now imagine that that child is your salvation. What does your salvation look like? Does it look like that child, dirty, underweight, because it hasn't been fed? Unprotected, all kind of assaults coming into it, because remember, a child is weak, and a child can't defend itself. Can your salvation even defend itself? Because if it doesn't have the word, it's not been fed, it's weak. And it's open to all kind of assaults. You wonder why sometimes. I used to wonder why, Lord, I didn't know what to respond when they said that to me. I didn't know how to. The word's been sitting there. I wanted to tell you this morning that that was coming up, but you didn't have time. You ran out the door because you were in such a hurry. You didn't have time to pray. You didn't have time to talk to me. You must understand that there is, this is the next point on your lesson. It says, you must understand that there is a response required from your salvation, your relationship with Christ. Salvation, deliverance from sin, harm, and loss is not a one-sided agreement. Your salvation is not a one-sided agreement. Jesus did not force you to accept him. You came up of your own free will and you accepted him, and you have to understand what you did when you accepted him. You went into a marriage with him. It's not one-sided. If you think about it, the Bible describes our relationship with him as a marriage more than any other thing. He's called the bridegroom. We're called the bride over and over again throughout the word of God. This marriage he's talking about. The two become one. But we have this one-sided thing going on. Can you imagine? If you are married, been married, you understand what I'm talking about. What if your spouse was, you know, just came home and just stood inside the door, just stayed in right by the front door and was looking always looking out the door. Never came into the house, and you prepared dinner and you did this and you did that, and he never came into the house and enjoyed the meal and, you know, let you love on him. You know, what? That's the way we do Jesus? Don't you want deliverance? So it's not a one-sided agreement. When God gave man free will and then man chose sin, then God sent his son to bring man salvation, God knew that man's free will needed to play a part in his salvation. He knew that. Free will is a gift. It's a gift that God is never going to take back. God does not take back his gifts. You know, the scripture says the gifts are without repentance. You know, that's why you see people with all these gifts, using them for the devil, psychics and all that. Yeah, they have a gift. They have a gift, but, you know, because God doesn't take back his gift. And one of the gifts is free will. He's not going to take that back from you. So there is a response required from your salvation. Many Christians waffle on the fence with their salvation. They want to be saved, but they are not
yet ready to be delivered. Let me say that again. They want to be saved, but they are not yet ready to be delivered. They don't want to be labeled as those people. Those people. You know what I'm talking about. So let me make an announcement to you Christians, okay? Let me make an announcement to you. There is an inherent hatred that comes with being a Christian in this fallen world. There is an inherent, you inherited a hatred of who you are. Jesus said it. He said they hated me, they're going to hate you. It's not like he didn't make it clear. He made it crystal clear. So there is an inherent hatred that comes with being a Christian in this fallen world. And with each step toward greater deliverance, the light of Christ will shine brighter and brighter in your life, and the world will see you, will see who you are. Child of God. They'll see who you are. Don't you know? With each step of deliverance, they will treat you differently. And some Christians are not ready for that. With each step of deliverance that you have, you're delivered from tobacco, you're delivered from drugs, you're delivered from illicit sexual activity, and you're going to change and you're going to be delivered. And with each step, you're going to shine brighter as a child of the Most High. And they're going to see you for what you are. And that's what I mean. Some Christians are like, I don't want to be labeled with those people. There's a song, I had to write this song. I hadn't heard this song since I was a child. They sung it. There's a lady that used to come to our church and she used to sing this song. And boy, the words of this song came up in my spirit. And I'm like, and I just knew the Lord wanted me to read these words to you. It says, I'm One of Them Today by S.K. Wheatlake. And it says, how many know this song? How many have heard this song before? Okay, you're going to enjoy this. It says, how I came to love these pilgrims is to me a great surprise. And the way the Lord has led me is a wonder in my eyes. No, I never thought I'd be one, but I'm happy now to say that although I used to hate them, I'm one of them today. I feel constrained to say I love this narrow way. Oh, glory, hallelujah, I'm one of them today. Verse 2 says, well, I knew the world despised them, so I said, 'twould never do. I would lose my reputation if I joined that noisy crew. But I heard in Sinai's thunder, you must surely go that way. I'm not ashamed to own it. I'm one of them today. Oft I sneered when they were telling that they felt no foe within, that the grace of their Redeemer daily kept them free from sin. But conviction seized my spirit, took my hatred all away. I found this great salvation, and I'm one of them today. It so shocked me that I could not all my indignation hide, that when they said God's old Bible never would endorse my pride. Though high-headed, proud, and haughty, I heard the Spirit say, will you be a humble pilgrim? And I'm one of them today. Once I thought their demonstrations were entirely out of place. They never would consent to bring upon me such disgrace. So I asked the Lord to bless me in a mild and careful way. I broke through and got the glory, and I'm one of them today. So I'm glad I ever found them, for they've led me to the right, and I mean to stay among them, daily walking in the light. Then someday I'll join their number over on the golden shore. It is settled, hallelujah, I'm a pilgrim evermore. I feel constrained to say, I love this narrow way. Glory, hallelujah, I'm one of them today. Don't you just love that? I was like, yes, Lord, I'm one of them today. You know, I didn't want to be a part of that noisy crew, but I'm one of them today. Loud as all get out. You know, me and Terry, just loud as all get out. Terry's my hallelujah buddy in the sanctuary. I call her, she didn't even know that. I call her my hallelujah buddy. You know, my family, when they asked, they said, how's that lady? I said, with the one that says hallelujah. I said, I know you're talking about Terry. I said, she's just doing just fine. So I'm telling you, I'm happy to say that I'm one of them today. So as we talk about deliverance, we talk about making a decision. I mean, I'm telling you, I know you've made a decision for Jesus Christ, but there's more decisions to be made here, folks. That are you going to decide that you're going to let him deliver you? And yes, you're going to shine brighter as a child of God. You know, and I can tell you a secret that the people that are watching, the people that may stand off from you as you start to shine brighter, they need the light. They need to see that light shining in your life. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they think. There is something that says, I hope it's true. I hope it's true because I need that light in my life. And when you come to that realization, when you come to a place where you can love people that much, I love you enough to let you ridicule me for a moment so the light of Christ can shine in my life. Because I love you enough because you need this light. You need this light. The next point on your lesson says, salvation is not forced, it is chosen. But once chosen, it needs to be nurtured, just like any other relationship to survive. If it is neglected because of your choices, you will experience the consequences of its weakness, and you will. You know, I wonder, I see Christians that are going through, not always because of the weakness of their salvation, sometimes because of the strength of their salvation they're going through, because God is preparing them for the next level. You know, and that's why a lot of us go through stuff, is that because God is preparing us for the next level. But sometimes, you know, I just see believers just being beat up all kind of way. No prayer life. And you ask them, do you pray? No. Does this happen? No. You read your word every day? No. Well, I get around to it when I can, you know, and then there's a laundry list of excuses, you know. But the consequences of the weakness of your salvation, there are consequences for the weakness of your salvation. And this is a matter of fact. It is a law of God that cannot be changed. Christ's salvation is the way, the truth, and the life. Thus, the writer of Hebrews asks, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, I gave the example of a child, but also example of a house. You know, salvation is like a house. As I said, you're in that house. But if the house is in disrepair, you know, anybody that's a homeowner knows you have to constantly... You have to constantly be repairing stuff, you know, to keep the house in repair, you know, because if the house is not repaired, guess what? One day the front door is going to fall off if you don't keep it in repair, and all kinds of stuff can come in. You know, and out Pueblo West, man, shoot, you don't know what might be coming in your door, man. You might have a grizzly. You know, I should say in Colorado, man, I'm from New York, but man, you guys got all kind of stuff. I don't know what I'm going to see out my backyard. Like, what in the world, Jesus? What is that? Thank God the house is in repair and the front door is on, you know. So again, we ask the question, what is the condition of your house? Is the roof leaking? Is the garden full of weeds? You know, if you ever took care of a garden, you know, you got to keep weeding that bad boy, you know. You got to keep pulling up all kind of junk growing up in there, because it's fertile soil and all this stuff grows up. So is your garden weeded? Are you allowing the name of Jesus as a deliverer to dwell in your house called salvation? And again, are you allowing him? You know, again, you know, Jesus doesn't force himself on anybody. That free will thing keeps coming up. You know, that's why we're at different levels. It's based on our free will. You know, when we chose to accept him, when we chose to grow in him, when we chose, you know, don't be upset at the people that are strong in the Lord. It is for everybody to be strong. He wants everybody strong in the Lord. We passed out this lesson. I don't know if you guys remember this thing we passed out, My Heart, Christ's Home. But I came back to this one too. And if you remember, if you read the story, that this is a story of Christ in someone's heart, and they're describing their heart as a house, and they talk about the different rooms in the house. And Christ came in and he told the person that owned the house that we can meet in the living room by the fire every day, and we can talk and we can learn about the word and stuff like that. And one day Jesus told him that there's a smell coming up from a closet upstairs. And the person said, well, I don't want you looking in that closet. I don't want you going in that closet, because that closet has stuff in there that I don't want you to see. There's magazines I don't want you to see, videos. I don't want you to go in that closet. And Jesus said, well, then I'll go sit out on the back porch until you're ready to let me go in that closet. And the person felt so bad and so convicted that he said, go ahead and go in. And Jesus said, I'll help you clean it up. See, the thing about Jesus, he's not going to come in condemning you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I know you're a Christian. I know you've accepted him. But, you know, if you've got that stinky closet and he wants to clean it up, let him clean it up. He'll clean it up in the best way possible. And he'll clean it up in a gentle way. He'll let you know. You know, the thing about Jesus, when he's cleaning up these things, that these ways, like sometimes it's behavior. How you act? You know, why are you so nasty? Why are you so this? And why are you so that? Some of the meanest people I ever met, and we're in church. Mean? In church? Yes. I'm just laughing because I remember this friend of mine. When we were like teenagers, I just remember her saying, she said, Mother Jones is so mean. She mean as a mad dog. She just mean. And she was right, you know. And I'm like, you know, why? Because there's that stinky closet that we won't let Jesus in. You know, Jesus was not mean. Jesus was not hateful. Jesus didn't have a lot of snide comments and a little sarcastic remarks. Jesus had to deal with me on my little sarcastic remarks. You know, like, how did that edify? How did that hit the people? Who did that hurt when you let that little thing slip out of your mouth? You know, how does it, you know, and I'm like, oh, I never thought of that. I never thought of that. You know, he had to teach me how to speak words of life. I did a whole lesson on speaking words of life. He had to teach me how to speak words, because I was speaking all kind of stuff, condemning myself sometimes. Sometimes we put ourselves down, saying all kind of negative stuff about ourselves and others, and oh my goodness, there he go again. You know how he is.
You sound like Myers.
Yeah. You know? And I have to watch what is coming out of here. You know, my nasty, stinky closet that Jesus is trying to clean up. And he's in a gentle way. He'll remind you of his word. And he'll tell you that, you know, speak words of life, edify, pour into people. And then as he clears that up, as he clears up that stinky closet, something, I mean, it could be in one room, but it stinks up the whole house. And as he clears out that stinky closet and the whole house is clear now, boy, that fresh fragrance comes in and the whole house is pleasant. Everybody is better because you cleaned out your stinky closet. Everybody's better. Isn't that a shame? Just one person. If y'all have, you have babies, you know, one little stinky diaper and he just walking around the house. Just stinky diaper. Can't stink up the whole house. So you just got to get that, let Jesus clean up that stinky closet so the whole house can be full of fragrance. It could be just so, and you know, and it's like he does things one at a time. You know, Jesus, he's the best psychiatrist in the world. I'm telling you. He does not overwhelm you with all your problems. He just talks about one. And then it's so funny, after a year passes, you look back and like, oh my God, I was so far from him. I thought I was a good Christian. And man, I was so far from him. I didn't know how to love anybody. I was just, you know, it's amazing So again, folks, as we're talking about deliverance, and you know, if you want a copy of this My Heart's Price Homes, I can make some copies, more copies for you. But it talks about that and how you make him, you know, you gotta let him into every part of your heart. Don't hold places back from him, because I'm telling you, sometimes there's a stench going on. And even sometimes we get what they call nose deaf. You ever seen those commercials? They talk about the Febreze commercial, that, you know, the person that with the pet, like you don't smell anything, but the person, they smell, boom, and the whole couch turned into a dog or something. And like, you don't even smell it because you become nose deaf after you've been around it for so long. But see, the deliverer can show you stuff. It can show you things, that comments that you made, how it hit your child, how it hit a family member. And Jesus will show it to you one day, and you'll be like, oh, my goodness, I didn't even realize. And he's like, yeah, I know. Let's clean up. Let's clean it up. Let's clean it up. Let me take you to scripture that you can meditate and dwell on. You know, and as I said, sometimes it's just a matter of you not saying it. Sometimes you don't know what to say, what to replace it with, and that's okay. That's a process. Sometimes I'll just have to, okay, I'm not going to respond. And then the next time, Jesus will tell you what to say. And it will be pleasant, and it will be a sweet fragrance that will blossom in somebody's life instead of another dagger that you've shot out again. You know, I'm telling you, this deliverance thing is not an isolated thing. As I said, Charles Stanley said, sin is, there's no such thing as an isolated sin. Sin is messy, folks. Sin hits everybody around you. So that's why you have to get deliverance. That's why you need deliverance. Because it doesn't just hurt you, it hurts the people around you. So salvation, it's not force. It's something that you chose, and now it needs to be nurtured. If you can imagine the heart of God in sending his only son to be tortured and hung in humiliation on a cross to purchase your salvation, and then you treat this salvation like an old shoe, only to wear it only if you have nothing else to wear. How God's heart must break, for two reasons his heart breaks. Number one, because of the price his son paid for our salvation. The salvation that lies dormant and neglected in the lives of many. I'm telling you, I wish I could say that this was not the norm of Christians, but it is, folks. So much. And I know because of the condition of us. I know because of the condition that we've got to become delivered and set free so we can be about the business of establishing the kingdom of God on earth. We need to establish the kingdom of God on earth. Do you understand? So his heart breaks because of the price his son paid for a salvation that lies dormant and neglected. Number two, because of his love for humanity and the things we are still bound by because we neglect this great salvation. We've accepted Christ, but we keep him out of the key areas of our lives. The key areas of our lives. Enough of this fakery. You know, God is, you know that picture that's in the front? I love this picture of Jesus. Just watch him. Just watch him. He's done everything. There's nothing else he can do for us. And he's tired of the fakery, I'm telling you. He's looking for real people that really serve him, that really embrace the way, the truth, and the life that we just talked about. Oh, not only when the days are good, but when the days are bad especially. It amazes me how Christians can turn when the things get hard, when trouble comes up, how they turn into something you don't even recognize. Back to the old way of doing things. I need to put my Holy Ghost on the shelf for a minute. As they used to say, I've heard people say that. Because I've got this Jesus. How sad. And he sits and he watches. He sits and he watches. So God's heart breaks because he loves us. And he sees how much we're still bound by the old ways that don't even work. That's the thing about it. The old attitudes don't even work. It doesn't make people do better because you got an attitude. It doesn't make people love you because they hated you and you threw hate back, and then for some reason you think love is going to spring up out of that. No. Hate begets hate. If you want to deal with hate, throw love at hate and watch it disappear. Throw forgiveness at a grudge and watch that thing heal and turn into love, into peace. Throw peace at strife and watch that thing die. Because that's his way. So it breaks his heart when we are still bound because we neglect the great salvation. We keep him out of the key areas of our life. We try to break the chains ourselves. We talk about the chains. We perseverate on the chain. All he's talking about the chain every day. The chain, the chain, the chain. The chain, the chain, and so-and-so's doing this, and they do that, and oh my goodness, oh, another day. Oh, did you see what they did yesterday? And now I know they're going to do it again today. Da, 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 da. We perseverate on the chains, but we fail to pray about the chains. God catches me on that one all the time. I'm just, you know, getting ready in the morning. I'm thinking, oh, goodness, oh, and oh, and oh. And, you know, he's starting to whisper in my ear, and I'm starting to hear him. I think he was always whispering, but I think I'm hearing now. You know, I think I'm hearing him now. When he says, but did you pray for them? No, I didn't. I just talked about them. I just, but Lord, you know, this is the 50th time they did it. Did you pray? You know, and this is sad because sometimes I have to say, yeah, they did it, Lord, 50 times, and I never prayed once. I just talked about it. I talked about the chains. I perseverated on the chains, but I never, ever prayed about the chain. I never brought the chain to you that's on them so that you could start breaking it. We depend on our intellect. We depend on our power and our authority over people and over things. We depend on our money as we leave him dormant. We never pray. And I mean, I was shocked at myself at how little I prayed over stuff. Always, next time you complain, I hope the Holy Spirit, I'm Holy Spirit, next time anybody in this room complains, remind them, ask them, did you pray? Did you even bring it to me? Did you even discuss it with me? And sometimes we don't want to discuss it with Jesus because you know he's going to tell you to love and you don't want to love right now. Okay, I want to be mad for a minute. Oh, come on, lady, stop it now. I want to be mad for a day. I want to be mad for a day or two. I need to make them suffer for a day or two. Then, that's why we don't talk to Jesus. Because I'm telling you, sometimes that anger, and this is just human, sometimes anger kind of feels good. I got somebody to be mad at. Because anger makes us feel like we're better than somebody. They did that. It's their fault. Look at what you did. I told you to do it this way, but you did it that way. So, I'm better, and I'm going to be angry because I'm the better person. That's what it's all about. Folks, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Andrew Murray was right. I think Andrew Murray was the one that said every human sin leads back to pride. I want to be angry with you because that makes me feel I'm better than you. Because I told you not to do that. So let me let you suffer for a day. Folks, I'm telling you, don't you want deliverance? I'm going to keep asking that question. Don't you want deliverance? Because it didn't solve anything, did it? All it did was make one person feel bad, and then they got up and did something. It's just like a ripples in a pond. Sin, sin, sin. Sin is messy. And after a while, you got all these people hurt because you, it started with you. You could have forgiven right there. But because you didn't, that person went out and did something, then that person did. Folks, I'm telling you, we can do better than this. He has bought the salvation for us. He has bought the deliverance for us. So we have to stop leaving him dormant, acknowledging him only when everything and everyone else has failed us. Then, all right, Lord, I'm all out of money. I'm all out of this. I'm all out of this. I'm all out of everything. You know, family gone, money gone. Okay, I guess now I will pray. Now I will call on Jesus because everything else is gone. Folks, boy, everybody could have been delivered had you prayed first. Had the salvation been first. The final point on your lesson, and we'll open for questions. Liberation, freedom, waits within the depths of the salvation bought by the deliverer. It waits within the depths of the salvation. You got to get past the front door. You got to get out of the foyer of the house. You got to come into the deep places. You got to go upstairs. You got to go into the bedrooms. You got to go into the kitchen. You got to go the deep places. Remember, we talked about this. Deep calls to deep. Deliverance is in the deep places of salvation. It's not just inside the front door. There are stories where people come to Christ and he takes the taste of certain things out of their life, but that's just the beginning. There are so many other things, deep things that go all the way back to our childhood that we need deliverance from. So liberation and freedom waits within the depths of salvation bought by the deliverer. With this liberation comes his peace, his joy, and his love. And that's a big piece of what we need. We need his love. You know, it wasn't until I grew in salvation that I actually believed, really believed he loved me. I mean, I know we come down to the altar weeping and we accept Jesus, you know, and we feel the first sense of his love and stuff. But then there are times when, like, you know, he ain't gonna love me through this one. But as you go into the deliverance, because some of us need to be delivered into love. Into his love, deeper into his love. Some of us need a deep dose of Jesus' love. It's always there, available, but we don't experience it because we're standing at the front door, still holding him at arm's length. When we need it, I mean, so many people, I run to people, I remind myself, so insecure. Oh, so many of us are so insecure because of things that have happened to us. Not your fault. Things have happened. In this world, things happen to people. Innocent people sometimes. You were a child when it happened. You were a young person when it happened. You had all the good intentions in the world. Threw your heart out there, and it got trampled on. And now you're in Jesus, and he wants to love you. He wants to show you what real love is. Jesus is not like your mother, your father, or the people of the earth. That's not Jesus. You got to understand who Jesus really is. And sometimes it's hard for us to really embrace how much he loves us. I mean, I had a hard time believing, does he really love me to that much? Would he Is he going to jack me up down the road like everybody else? Is he going to woo me and bring me in and then put me in chains? And is he going to, all the questions that go on in the human psyche, because of we live on a fallen world. We live on a fallen planet, and there's all this stuff that goes on in our head about life because of what has happened to us. And Jesus is trying to deliver you. I'm trying to deliver you, but you've got to come into the deep places of me so I can talk to you, so I can show you that I really do love you, and I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. But many of us, we don't believe it. Is he going to do me like everybody else did me? But I'm here to testify, folks. He is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised, folks. You can trust him. You can trust him. So with the freedom comes his peace, his joy, and his love. If we would just respond to our deliverer, our salvation purchaser, here and now, our days can be lived within his true and complete freedom. He doesn't want you to have any hangups. So I ask you again, don't you want deliverance? Hallelujah. Any comments? I know.
I just have to say this. I know a little bit about the deliverance in terms of actual seminar deliverances. Mm-hmm. And so many of us don't really know what we need delivering from, mm-hmm. because there's so much in our life that we don't even recognize as a stronghold.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And there's strongholds like the table, and then there's underlings like the legs that hold that stronghold in place.
Wow.
And so, you know, if you don't get the underlings, you can't even get to the stronghold.
Wow.
And so it's like a hierarchy.
Mm.
And fear, I mean, there are probably thousands of types of fears that will keep people in bondage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unforgiveness and bitterness are at the top also.
Wow.
And like I said, a lot of people don't even realize what we don't realize what we need.
Wow. Boy, that is so good.
Then the other part is once you understand what deliverance is and get some information about it, there's the walkout process.
Yeah.
Because you walk out your righteousness daily, you become more aware of what you've been delivered.
Hold that mic up.
When you walk out your righteousness daily, you become more aware of what you've been delivered from.
Wow.
So when you recognize it, because you can't come out of agreement with it until you recognize it.
Yes.
Recognition is the first step in deliverance.
Yes.
I could say a whole lot more.
Boy, that was so good. I didn't know if you guys heard that, but she was comparing. She was talking about strongholds, because sometimes there's strongholds. The Bible talks about the strongholds. And sometimes the stronghold is like a table, she was saying, and there are the legs underneath are holding up the stronghold, you know, like bitterness and unforgiveness. And then but the stronghold is what's manifested in your life, like the whole overall insecurity. I'm feeling insecure because there's a stronghold. That's a stronghold, but what's holding it up? Bitterness, unforgiveness, all that stuff. So she said you have to recognize it. That's the first step, and that is, you know, and Jesus will help you to recognize it.
Yeah.
He will just help you to recognize, why do you act like that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I love the way he speaks to my spirit, because it's always matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so why did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you act like that? He's a great psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I did it, Jesus. And then he breaks it down.
Right.
And he'll show you the underlings that are holding up a stronghold in your life.
So that was really good, Joanne. Come over there, guys.
Karen, we also talked about prayer, and I've also heard Pastor Steve talk about prayer also, about praying for the city of Pueblo. All the things that are going on all over, all the evil, all the crimes, is because there's no prayer over to cover everything that is going on there. If people really get themselves to be really humble, and God will answer. Mm-hmm. It's because, you know, we all get together, and, well, evil prevails because we don't do nothing.
Yes.
It's just the same thing like President Trump was running for candidate. Did you ever see all the ministers, all the churches that were surrounding him, praying for him, and God picked him? That's because a prayer is powerful.
Yes.
I'm doing that for my family now. And like Sister Jones was saying about having to be able to see what it is in the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. God will show us what it is. And the Lord showed me that this morning about my family to pray for them.
Yes, yes. I'm telling you, the kingdom of God can be established on the earth if we would just get our own deliverance. It's, you know, judgment starts at the house of God. You know, I'm telling you, we have got to get our own deliverance so we can be about the business of establishing the kingdom. You know, I can't be mad, too mad at the world, because if I'm not doing my piece, you know.
One of the first things that I learned is that when we're children, I was in a seminar class, about 250 people, maybe 300 people, and the pastor asked how many people in this room were ever heard out loud, spoke out loud, that your father ever said, I love you, out loud.
Mm-hmm.
99% of the people had never heard their father speak out loud saying, I love you.
Wow.
And I was one of those.
Wow.
But I knew my father loved me. I knew my dad loved me.
Yeah.
But he had never said it out loud to me.
Oh, wow.
And it makes a big difference.
Yes.
And so there's a whole process to go through to understand that even though your earthly father hasn't expressed that to you, when you break that open and deal with it, then you can, it opens the heavenlies so that you can begin to go to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's important. Many have well, anyway.
I'm telling you, boy, isn't that something? And, you know, folks, it's never too late to get started. It's never too late to get started.
There for a long time, I thought judgmental thoughts would come into my head, and I'd say, why do they keep coming into my head? Well, then he starts, you know, scripture from Matthew 7:1 says, judge by the same measurement in which you will be judged. So I prayed about it, and as they kept coming into my head, I kept saying, Lord, I don't want these thoughts in my head. They're not from you. I want your thoughts. So then he began to stir in my spirit that I needed to pray about those, when those thoughts would come, whoever I was judging at that time. And so when those thoughts come to my head now, I turn it over to God immediately, because it will torment you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
yes.
a, you know, tormenting spirit, and that's
yes.
from the enemy.
Yes. And, you know, and God does deal with your thoughts. Some things you haven't even said out loud. Some things people have said that hurt your heart, and you never spoke it out loud. But Jesus knows it's there. He knows that your heart was hurt. And I love that about him, because he'll come along. He said, but I love you.
Mm-hmm.
But I said this about you. I know they said that about you, but this is what I say about you. And I'm telling you, folks, let him minister to you in that way. Don't think it's just a voice. I'm telling you, I've learned to nurture that spirit when it's like when the Lord is trying to minister to you and tell you things. Sometimes it's a song, you know, because the scripture says the Holy Spirit will bring things back to your remembrance. But if you're not reading the word, I'm telling you, the more you read that word, I'm telling you, the more you're going to get some good therapy, if you will. The more, because he can bring those scriptures back up in your spirit. The songs, the praise and worship. Sometimes he'll even bring a song up, like that song he brought up. He brought up in my spirit. You know, share that song this morning. you know, because the people need to know. You know, are you willing to be one of those people? Answer that question. Anybody else?
You know, Sister Karen, I was thinking just, I think when a person needs deliverance, you know you need deliverance. You know you need deliverance. That's why you go to God with an open heart and straight up you tell him, you know, Lord, I need deliverance from this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be acting this way anymore. I don't want to be talking this way. I need the deliverance from mm-hmm. this. Just think, if our God's church, his people, just think how powerful and how no division would take place in his church.
Wow.
How powerful
wow.
it would be if there was deliverance, true deliverance,
uh-huh.
and just no division.
Wow.
Just think what God could use with this lighthouse.
Yes.
If we would only keep in mind that we need the deliverance first.
Mm-hmm.
We need the deliverance first. Whatever it is that is a hang up in our lives.
Yes.
But
yes.
We don't. We don't yes. want to grow up.
Yes.
Well, that's all it is. We
yes.
don't want to grow up because then we're gonna be responsible.
Yes. Yes.
And I think once we know we're going to be responsible, then we say, nah,
mm-hmm.
comfortable.
Yes.
But I do think mm-hmm. that if mm-hmm. there's something in our lives that we need deliverance for, be straight up with him and tell him, you know, Lord, I don't like what I'm feeling. I don't like what I'm saying. I don't even like what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I need deliverance.
Yes. Yes.
But a lot of people don't like to talk about deliverance because it hits a core.
Mm-hmm.
And deliverance is only that people don't like
to talk about. I tell you, it's a very deep issue.
It is.
Because as
it
I said, some parts of this thing we like.
Yeah.
Our flesh likes some of this, you know, and we don't want to give up some things that we like, you know, and it hits deep when we have to deal with ourselves and where we are. You know, and we want to, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll be fussing about something, the Lord will catch me, and then I was like, oh, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I Lord, just forgive me. Go back right into it, and then oh, Lord, forgive me. So it's a process. So even if you have to keep going into it, guys, keep going into it. Anybody else want to comment? Anybody else?
You were talking about going past the front door, going up
mm-hmm.
the Lord, putting my mic up to the upper room like the apostles
mm-hmm.
did.
Mm-hmm.
And spend that time with the Lord.
Yes, yes. I'm telling you. And, you know, I don't want to make you feel that the Church of Jesus Christ is riddled with all these problems. Because the Church of Jesus Christ was riddled with problems from the very beginning. Read the epistles. I'm reading it. I mean, all the epistles was about correction. Correction, correction, correction. Because from the very beginning, there were issues. And I believe the Church of Jesus Christ has made great progress. We've made great progress. We have great churches, you know, and things like that. But folks, we can do so much better. Because if we were do better, as Virginia was saying, if we would just unite, boy, what we could do to establish the kingdom of God on the earth.
I was going to let it pass, but I think I have to fall out on you. Okay, so I was going to let it pass, but I got instructions to share. I have to attest to everything that Joanne said because I went through with her. She walked me through deliverance. When she asked me after my mom, well, my mom hadn't died yet, but she was dying. And she asked me how I was doing, and I went, oh, I'm okay. I'm doing okay. And then it's like the Holy Spirit says, you know, you're lying, which I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told him, you know, no, I am lying to you. And, yeah, I want to do this, but it has to be after. So mm-hmm. all my life I struggled with insecurity and just a multitude of things. And she walked me through in 4 sessions. I got delivered from every one of these things that had me by the throat
wow.
for years.
Wow.
And at that point,
my sister had passed away 2 years ahead, or 2 years before my mom did. And I was in the absolute grief that was crippling because we did everything together. And so when I got, we walked all through the sessions, and she set me in a chair with some praise music and just said, just sit there and soak it in. And I was just thanking the Lord for what he had done. And he said, okay, now forgive your sister for dying and leaving you alone. Wow. Because at that point I was. I had three sisters, and I lost all three of them in that period of time. One to death, the other two still don't talk to me. But that's okay, because God gave me three new sisters that don't have all the garbage, you know, that was attached to the others. And I still pray for the two that are still living. Mm-hmm. But I was sitting there praising God and thanking him for what he had done. And he said to me, okay, now, well, I said that, didn't I? Forgive her for dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I went, you know, had no clue. So I did. I said, okay. So I forgave Lila for leaving me, for dying, leaving me alone. And that broke that grief off of me. Amazing.
Wow.
And like I said, then he gave me the three really close. Joanne's one, Connie, and then a lady that worked for me.
Wow.
And they were the three, and we have a really close relationship. Even if we don't see each other for a long time, you just pick up right back where you were, you know, the last time you were together. So, you know, I really encourage anybody, and you don't know what you're dealing, and you don't, and this is way back in your childhood, way back in the womb sometimes.
Wow.
And it's so simple, and that was the mind-boggling thing, is just taking responsibility for the issue, and then praying, you know, forgiving or dealing with it. It's so simple, mm-hmm. and yet people are afraid of deliverance.
Wow.
Because it's spooky, but it's, you know, I'm telling you, it's not.
It's not.
And it's the fear that the enemy brings about deliverance to keep you bound in your issues where you are.
Wow.
So the next time, I mean, you know, and pray about it and ask the Lord because he will reveal that, you know, to you, and hook you up with somebody like Joanne did with me to set you absolutely free.
Mm.
So it's not a scary thing at all, but it brought, like I said, complete free. And I wouldn't be doing today what I'm doing if it had not been for her.
Wow.
And that was, you know, just one time that he brought that kind of healing to me.
Wow.
But that was the biggie.
Yeah.
And I just encourage you, go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that so much, because I know some people in this room needed to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, and this is going to be on the podcast, so people, you know, they just need to hear that there are deep things, and, you know, psychiatrists seem such a small, minuscule way to describe our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows, I mean, it's like he goes beyond that, because the psychiatrist can only see the outside
and
what you're telling them. But Jesus can see all the way into your soul, and he knows all about your past and what happened. I mean, he knows all of that. That's why he is the deliverer. He's the one that knows need to go in, and he knows where to put that balm. Exactly where it needs to be, so that you are completely healed. He doesn't do any halfway job. He does a complete healing, and only he has those credentials that he can do that type of healing. So thank you for sharing that, and also thank you for sharing about deliverance, because the enemy does make us think, when you think of deliverance, you know, they think of you falling on the floor and foaming at the mouth. No, that's not the only picture. Some people, they do need that type of deliverance, because they're demon possessed, you know, and that's what the devil will do for you. But I'm not talking about necessarily about that type of deliverance, folks. I'm talking about the stuff you're talking, just the deep, those deep issues of the heart that you cannot talk to anybody, not will not, cannot talk to anybody about.
You don't know about
them. You don't even know they're there, right.
There was a situation that happened when I was about 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And I won't go into all the details, but later on, years later, when I was an adult, had kids, married, whatever, I was taking a shower one day, and that thing came rushing back in the same magnitude with the emotions, the whole thing, and the words, everything at me, and I'm going, Lord, why am I thinking about this now? That happened years ago, you know, I hadn't even thought about it. And he told me that was what Satan used to steal the feeling of being loved from you.
Wow.
And that affected me all my entire life until I got delivered.
Wow. Jesus.
So,
God, that just hits a chord, you know, because I and what she was saying, that sometimes when you are thinking about stuff that you had thought about for years, that's the Holy Spirit sometimes bringing it up because it's time to deal with it now. It's time to deal with it now. You couldn't before, but it's time. And I will walk you through it. I will carry you through it.
Right.
You know, the process of getting delivered. So you don't have to be afraid in Jesus' arms. He won't drop you. He won't embarrass you.
He won't make you go any further than you want to. And when I've done the deliverance seminars, I've gone through it since 2004. Mm-hmm. I think I've gone every year up until about a couple of years ago. I was going every year because for me, it was like peeling an onion. Mm-hmm. And everybody's heard that expression, you know, peeling an onion, because you can't take away everything because you'd be raw.
Yeah.
Because just of the nature of who, how we are.
Yeah.
You can't pull it all away. But step by step by step. But the process is that when this process happens, what the process is, and you can do it yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have anybody else. You have the information, and you can sit at home and say, okay, this is happening to me. I need to go over here and look and see what's going on here. Okay, I need to speak this out and come against that and come out of agreement with it. So it's not a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. It's a walking out your righteousness daily, but now you have more information.
Absolutely. I'm telling you. Boy, I'm so moved at this lesson. I'm telling you, folks, we're going to have to close down. We're at 10:18, and we've got to close down. But I'm telling you, let me see. I think that clock, it's 10:15. So let's pray, folks. We'll be back next week. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord God, we thank you for deliverance. Lord God, I just am so moved by the testimonies I hear, Lord. I am moved by my own testimony, Lord God, how you brought deliverance into my life, Lord God. And I thank you for it, that you have set me free, that I did not have to be bound up and all jacked up, as it were, by so many things that have happened to me, Lord God. I pray that your people would embrace deliverance. Oh, Lord, that they would embrace, Lord God, that you are here to set them free. Oh, God, that they would not live another day bound, oh, God, but that they would start to walk towards your freedom. I pray that you would remind them this week as they go through their week and they go through their different situations and circumstances, Father, that you will begin to show them areas where they need deliverance. And, Lord, and then you are so faithful to carry it out. You are so faithful, so I pray that they pray. I pray that they pray. I rebuke fear. I rebuke the spirit of fear, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of sloth, and I rebuke the spirit of indifference, Lord God, and that we would embrace walking toward the deliverance. Lord, your word says deep calls to deep at the noise and the sounds of your waterfall, Lord God. So I pray that the deep places of them will call to the deep places of you, and they will get into deliverance, Lord God, that they will walk into the deep places of the house, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray, the God the deliverer, in Jesus' name, amen.